Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
I feel at home here in Watoto Church. I don't know how many times I've been here, but it's many. But for all of us who are meeting for the first time, God bless you. And I do believe that the Lord has a word for you tonight from His Word. Before I speak from the Bible, I just want to take a moment and say thank you to you, Watoto Church, for the miracle offering that you gave last year. I'm a part of a church planting network in Canada called the Association of Related Churches, or ARC. And we're affiliated with a movement in the U.S. that started 16 years ago. In those 16 years in the U.S., we have planted 850 plus churches in the U.S. And praise God. The ARC model is a little different model to what North America has been accustomed to. It's a model that says launch big, launch with a strong population of people, launch strong financially. The traditional model has been launch with a few people and launch weak and launch broke, and it's really turned it on its head. The traditional numbers of church planting in Canada are that something like 90% of church plants after 5 years close. But with what we've learned and the Holy Spirit has given, the statistics for ARC US and Canada is that after 5 years, 94% of those churches are growing and self-sustaining. So we believe God has given us something to reach North American and hopefully Christians around the world. We believe that church planting is one of the most effective ways of reaching people far from God in our nation. We can show statistics that say more people come to faith in Christ through a church plant than any other way in our nation. There was a survey done in Canada not too many years ago, and this is going to shock you, but it lets you know the desperation of our need. A survey done of all evangelical churches in the nation of Canada, and they found that the average number of people who come to faith in Christ per church in Canada is 2 people per year. We're not changing the nation with those kinds of numbers. And so Pastor Gary was at our conference with James and Stephanie and in Canada in June. And we were raising an offering for church planting. In ARC, if a church planter shows the initiative and raises $50,000 for his launch budget, then ARC comes alongside and matches that $50,000. And then that is then repaid over a period of time to go into the next church plant. The Holy Spirit spoke to Pastor Gary and James and said, Watoto Church wants to be a part of planting churches in Canada. And so they committed from your miracle offering to be one of the $50,000 sponsors of a brand new church in Canada. We're going to build a relationship between that new church and Watoto Church. We want you to become friends with our young pastor and pour into their lives. You've received so much, but I can tell you right now, you are now our leaders in faith, in worship, in expansion, and reaching your city for Christ. So we want to learn from you. We want to receive from you. We want to be your partners. So I'm here to say thank you. And you have no idea the number of Canadian people that are going to come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, because last year you stepped out in faith and gave a miracle offering in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So when you give your offering, you have no idea what God is going to do with it. I have a friend in Zambia, and this is what he said to me. You can measure the seed, but you can never measure the harvest. And you may think, oh, I have no money. No, no, it's seed. And when God gets a hold of it, He multiplies and turns it into a harvest. I just want to testify in my life, my wife's life, that God, when you honor Him, He blesses you far beyond the multiplication of the finances. He blesses you. I believe that this is a serious barrier to many people in their submission to Christ's Lordship. It's a test of our faith. Do we believe He works miracles? Do we believe that He can do things we can't imagine? Do we believe He can do more than what we can calculate in our mind? These types of offerings are where we sow that seed of faith and then see it come to pass in many different ways. So bless you in your miracle offering. Thank you for blessing Canada. We hope to bless you back as we go forward in partnership. Can we just give glory to God for friends and partners and miracle offerings in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to greet you from my wife. And I noticed that all of the pastors, and I've learned why, as I've been here longer, I'm married to one woman all of these years. It's 38 years. And we've been given four wonderful kids, and now we're overrun. We're overrun with grandchildren. I don't even know who they are anymore. I'm like, who are you? Are you one of us? I don't know. It's like, who brought you here? I don't even recognize you. And then there's the birthdays. Can you imagine? They all expect gifts. It's awful. It's terrible. So there's a balance, you know. It's not all joy and fun. There's trouble that goes with it. But there are a lot of opinions in the world today about who Jesus is. I want to spend a little time with you this afternoon on that subject. Because what you do with the answer to that question is going to affect everything in your whole life. It affects your missions perspective. It affects your worldview. Some people say that Jesus was a good teacher and that's all he was. They like to read the Beatitudes and say, that's cool, I like that. Some who say he was just a prophet like Muhammad or others. But that's not what Jesus said about himself. It's not what the Bible says about him. It's not what the eyewitnesses who saw his life, death, and resurrection said about him. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. The purpose of this message is to help you to answer the question, who do you say that he is? How your answer is given determines so much about your future, your worldview, whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. Your answer determines what you will do with your life, what you'll do with your money, what you'll do with your talents. I want to read a wonderful passage from the book of Colossians that gives us a few ideas of who Jesus is. It's taken from the New Living Translation. And I want to just let the scripture speak for itself. I'm not going to comment much on it. So Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 13. And we're looking at who is Jesus and what difference does that make in our lives, what we do with our lives, what we spend our lives on, where our energies go. Verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Jesus, firstly, is the one who has purchased our freedom and forgiven our sins. I wonder if anybody could say praise the Lord to that. Not many. I know you Africans can do better than that. I wonder if anybody could say praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Secondly, verse 15, Christ is the invisible, the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. He is supreme over all creation. He's not just a prophet with a few nice things to say. He's the creator of the universe and is supreme over all of creation. He is first in everything. He's head of the church. He is the beginning. He's supreme over all who rose from the dead. The scripture says all the fullness of God lives in him. He is fully God and first in everything. Verse 20 says, through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. How many were far away from God at one point? It includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical bodies. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him. Would you read the last four words with me, everybody? Ready? Without a single fault. Hallelujah. He has reconciled all things to God. You used to be enemies, far away because of wicked deeds and wicked thoughts, but now you are reconciled to him, holy and blameless, and you stand before him without a single fault. Hallelujah. That's who Jesus is. That's what he does. He's able to bring peace with God, reconcile us, bring us into his presence. So who is Jesus? We're working on that question tonight. What does he do and how does he have operation in your life? These four things so far. He's purchased our freedom. Let's do this. When I give you the first point, I need you to shout amen, okay? You ready? Let's do a test run. One, two, three. Amen! Can you do better? One, two, three, come on. Amen. Oh, I felt that one. Blew me back a little. All right, here we go. He has purchased our freedom. Amen. He is supreme in creation. Amen. He is first in everything. All the fullness of God lives in him. And he is able to bring peace with God. Amen. That's who he is. These truths establish our identity in Christ. These promises bring us hope and give us restoration. We are sons and daughters of God. This is who Jesus is to us. But my question tonight is, what do we do with all this truth? What do we do with all of this new identity, this theology? As marvelous as it is. What's the application? What is the impact of this knowledge? Let me take you to the next verse now in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. When I came across this, I came across this passage in my Bible reading. I was so shocked and pleased by what happens in verse 28. Because we've been building. He gave our freedom. We're reconciled to God. He's the fullness of God. He's supreme in creation. He's all of these things. And then look at verse 28. It says, so we tell others about Christ. Do you see that? We have all of this great understanding and theology and blessings and identity. And then the apostle says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom of God that has been given to us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Here we go now. That's why I struggle and work so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works in me. That's the application, everybody. So we tell others. It's not just about you. The gospel isn't just about you and your life and your identity and your future. It's about others. Jesus came not for himself, but for others. The work that he's done in your life is more than enough for you. It needs to be shared with others. These understandings, these deliverances, this healing, this wholeness. Yes, we're blessed, but we're made whole for others. And that's where the purpose and the joy of life starts to come in. These truths were the reason that the first followers of Christ developed the simple phrase, Jesus is Lord. That's where it came from. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The first believers called him Lord. They would greet each other. They didn't say, hello, hi, how are you? They'd say, Jesus is Lord. It established their perspective that there was no other name that could save from sin. There was no one else who lived a sinless life or did the miracles that he did. There was no other prophet or spiritual leader that was raised from the dead and has power over hell and the grave. There are no other roads to heaven but through faith in the cross of Christ. There is no other so-called God who says to you, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Before you were born, I chose you. You are mine. There's no one else who binds up the broken and mends the hearts and the minds of those who've been hurt by the devil. There's no one else who gives us a family to belong to. No one else who gives us a purpose for living or answers the question of where we come from and why we're here. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And it is because Jesus is Lord, we must tell everyone, everywhere, that good news. It's the reason that Watoto Church exists. It's the reason that there are women in a neighborhood who are inviting their friends and their neighbors to come and learn about Jesus and transform their neighborhood. It's the reason, because Jesus is Lord. It's the reason that we were blessed to just visit the Subi Children's Village and walk through the baby's home. It's the reason that Watoto Church takes in babies left in garbage bins. It's the reason, because Jesus is Lord. It's the reason that Watoto Church gives a miracle offering and helps to plant a church in Canada, because Jesus is Lord. So we tell others. I want to just add that little phrase to your memory tonight. You've heard the phrase, Jesus is Lord, but I want to add, Jesus is Lord, so we tell others. Could we say it together, everybody? Jesus is Lord, so we tell others. Jesus is Lord almost kind of has a period on it, but when we put so we tell others, then there's application, there's feet on it. This is what we do with this blessing. We tell others. It's the foundation of all missional activity, of all evangelism. Evangelism is not so that you feel good about yourself or I feel good about myself. Evangelism is because Jesus is Lord, and he's going to be good to them if they could just meet him. It's the reason that the first disciples died for their faith with these words on their lips. Do you know that as many of the first disciples were being martyred for their faith, they would simply speak the words, Jesus is Lord. Without faith in Christ, our world remains in its sins. We can become more prosperous. We can become sophisticated. We can be educated. But without Christ, we are lost and still in our sins. We have to do all we can as quickly as we can with all the energy that we have to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I feel forever indebted to Pastor Gary and Marilyn. They've invested so much in my life. I felt so honored this week. A young woman said to me, are you Pastor Gary's brother? And I said, yes, I am, but not blood, but in the spirit, we are brothers. But these people have poured into my life and ministry. Here's what happens every time I come to Uganda. I feel like I want to do something. I feel like I haven't done much, and I want to do more. But now I said to Pastor Gary, I turned 60 this year. I know it's hard to believe, such an athletic body. I said, for the first time in my life, when I turned 60, I felt like I could see the finish line. That I'm not invincible anymore, that there's an end coming. So can I tell you, my heart, as long as God gives me health and strength and my mind is able to work, I want to serve Jesus till I die. I don't want to retire. I don't want to give up. We have a pastor friend, and he used to say this, I want to die with my boots on. Just meant I want to die working for Jesus. That's what we have to do. That's why we spend our money. In the book of 2 Kings, there's a marvelous story. The prophet is Elisha. The enemy king of the Syrians is named Ben-Hadad. And they were sieging the city of Samaria. It's a really colorful story about four lepers who are on the outside of the wall. And there was no food in the city, and there was no food outside of the city. Nothing was going into the city, nothing was coming out. These four men who had leprosy were going to die one way or the other. So they took this approach. They said, if we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we'll die. If we sit here and do nothing, we'll die also. Now, therefore, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians, and if they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die. That's a good perspective, hey? Yeah, we'll only die. So they went to the army of the enemy. And in the night, the angel of the Lord had chased the enemy army away. And they had been so filled with fear that they left their camp with all the supplies, all the food, all the weapons, all the treasures. And so the narrative tells us that these four lepers began to collect money and clothing and weapons, and they started to hoard all of those things for themselves. They started to think that they would now be the rich guys instead of those other guys in the city who had treated them badly. And as they were collecting all of the loot from the enemy, one of them said this, 2 Kings 7, verse 9. We are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. And so they went back, and they told the city, and the city was saved. Ugandan brothers and sisters, this is a day of good news. And we must not keep it to ourselves. It's a day of deliverance and healing. It's a day when the only hope for the nations of Africa is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not politics. It's not economics. It's the people of God transforming their communities one neighborhood at a time in Jesus' name. You have a vision to change this nation. And we must not keep it to ourselves. Missions and evangelism isn't something we get to choose. We don't decide if we want to be involved in missions. We are commanded by Christ to be involved. It's not an option. It's not a choice. It's a mandate from the heart of God, so serious that Jesus shed his own blood for the souls of every Ugandan man, woman, young person, and child. We must not rebel against the heart of God and just do what's easy or just do what's comfortable. To not be reaching lost people, to refuse to keep the goodness of God and the good news to ourselves is spiritual arrogance at the highest and most terrible level. To say, I'm right with God and that's all I care about, when Christ shed his blood so that you could have salvation and share it with others. I'm passionate about missions. Our church, while I was the pastor, was very committed to giving to missions, and God blessed us because of it. And God has given us friends around the world because of it. I was reading recently about missionary people, and I came across somebody that I hadn't heard of before. Her name was Mildred Cable, I'm sure you've never heard of her before either. She was a single female missionary who felt called to the people in the Gobi Desert of northern China in the early 1900s. In her missionary career, she traveled the length of the Gobi Desert 5 times. It was 1,000 kilometers one way. She did it 5 times, stopping in villages and telling nomadic peoples about the love of Jesus Christ. On the last page of her journal, she wrote this: without God, we cannot, and without us, God will not. Without God, we cannot, but without us, God will not. Every life is precious to God. Every soul is so valuable that Christ would die on the cross. My friend, our friend Murray Cornelius, who's our missions overseer, tells this story. He may have told it here, but I love it, so I'm going to tell it again. The Assemblies of God South Africa celebrated their 100th anniversary in 2017. A Canadian missionary named Charles Chawner was one of the first to go to South Africa, to the Zulu people. It was difficult work. People didn't come to Christ easily in those days. But gradually, he won over one of the chiefs of one of the villages who gave his life to Christ. And as a result, that chief preached and the whole village came to faith in Christ. The chief took Charles Chawner aside one day and said these words. And as you listen to these words, I want you to think of people that you saw on your way to church tonight. I want you to think of people that you work with or you sit with in your university classroom. I want you to think of people who live where you live and you walk past them every day. This proud, prosperous Zulu chieftain said to Charles Chawner, "What took you so long? Why are you white people so selfish with the gospel?" Hudson Taylor was one of the first missionaries to China. Again, in the early 1900s, difficult work, maybe the late 1800s. And finally, Hudson Taylor had one person come to faith in Christ. And that same precious Chinese man said to Hudson Taylor, "How long have you known about this good news? How long have you known?" And I would say to you, Ototo Church, how long have you known of the goodness of God? How long have you known of His faithfulness, His forgiveness, His mercy, His healing? And what about the people all around in our city? I want to tell you, I don't need statistics. I don't need demographic studies. I want to tell you, tonight in Kampala, there are hundreds, maybe thousands of people that if somebody would just help them, they would come to Jesus. They're ready. They're searching. They're questioning. There may be some who are saying, "How can I find my way?" Maybe somebody's thinking of ending their lives. Maybe someone is drowning their sorrows in a club. Can you hear the sound of the voices saying, "What took you so long? Why did you wait? How long have you known about this?" Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." This message is simple. It is Jesus is Lord, so we tell others. Would you say it with me one more time, everybody? Jesus is Lord, so we tell others. Could I urge you, Watoto Church, if I see a danger, it's that you are so blessed and growing so fast that you may be tempted to see a crowd of people instead of a person. every crowd of people, whether it's here, the Northwest, East, South, the other campuses, the 13 campuses of Wetoto Church, and growing every year to the glory of God. Each one of those crowds that are gathering in the name of Jesus is made up of one person that another person told about the goodness of God because Jesus is Lord. That's how it happens. It's not complicated. It's not sophisticated. It's the passion of God. One of my favorite verses, it's not a great verse to memorize, but it's in the Bible, is when the apostle recognizes a man named Epaphras. Epaphras is identified in the Bible as the first convert in Asia. So think about this. The apostles, the followers of Jesus who saw his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, blind eyes open, walking on the water, bread turned miraculously to feed thousands. These same apostles did an outreach into Asia and one guy got saved. And they put his name in the Bible. Think about Asia now. What God is doing there. It's one person at a time. Jesus is Lord, so we tell others. A lady was baptized in our church, and she was giving her testimony in the baptismal tank. Her husband was in prison. She said, I used to come and sit in my car in the parking lot of this church, and I would watch you people going in and coming out. And I didn't know whether I could go in or not. And so I'd watch you go in and I'd watch you come out. I thought maybe you had to join and be a member or pay a certain amount of money. And I sat there a number of weeks until one day somebody came up and knocked on the window of my car. Said, I've seen you here. Would you like to come in? And she said, can I? They said, oh, yes. And of course, she gave her life to Christ. Her husband found Jesus in prison. They were reunited. They were baptized together. It's a wonderful story. But she was representative of people all through this city thinking, could I go to Wetoto Church? Could I go to that thing I've heard? They have groups in neighbor. Could I go to that? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is Lord. So we tell others. I want to just change gears as I close. Maybe the musicians would return. But I want to speak to someone today. Someone special who's here. And you have never said, Jesus is Lord. You've never prayed to receive Christ as the King and the ruler of your heart. Maybe you're more like Peter. And you once walked with God, but you've denied him. Maybe even with curses. And no matter what your circumstances, however you happen to be here, you're not certain whether you are in a right standing with God tonight. You may hope that you are. You may think that you can be right with God by your proximity to other Christian people, but nobody comes to Jesus by osmosis. It doesn't get on you from somebody else. It's your decision, your opportunity, your moment. And you are here because God loves you and has reached out to you in some way, some form. Maybe you are here tonight and you have no idea actually how you ended up here. Maybe you made a mistake, got on the wrong bus. Thought this was a concert or something. And you're thinking, what am I doing in this place? You need to know you're not here by accident. You're here because God knows your name. You're here because he's not forgotten you. You're here because the brokenness of your life is about to get healed up and there's restoration and a future for you through God's goodness in your life. That's why you're here. Maybe you've been asking the question, well, what do I do? I've had people say to me, I've wanted to pray, but I don't know how. I don't want to do it wrong. It's like you say the wrong thing and God rejects you. No, wrong formula. Sorry, you're rejected. That's not how God works. I believe if your heart is sincere, you can't pray wrong. Peter was sinking into the water and all he said was, Lord, save me. That was his prayer. Can you pray that prayer? Lord, save me. I want to give you a first step. I want to give you one step. It's not the only step or the end of your steps, but it's the first step. And it's to confess with your mouth, by faith, Jesus is Lord. Romans 10 verse 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.